Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Knopp. I'm filling in for my partner, Jess Romero. I don't normally do Mondays, but I'm glad he called me in today because I get to hook up with my friend Paul Clay, a new member to VNPR, retired lieutenant from the LA County Sheriff's Department. It's good to be working with you. And then I'm going to let him introduce our guest in a minute, but we're having a great time just preparing for this because we got two Catholics, high energy Catholics, that high information Catholics, by the way, and they love Jesus. They love his church. And we're on the brink of the most consequential election in our lifetime. I would say maybe in history, because I've never been so close to socialism and communism as we are today. But let not your heart be troubled. Why? You know, no matter what the outcome, because, you know, we know God is in control. And the verse of the day is the kingdom, Psalm 22, verse 28, the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules the nations. And before I hand it over to you, Paul, let me just say this prayer for our nation, for our listeners that can pray along with us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Almighty God, our rock and our salvation, we beg you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon our fractured nation. Heal the divisions that separate us. Remove all obstacles to authentic unity. May you guide this great country of ours and lead our citizens to embrace one another as neighbors and fellow countrymen created in your own image and likeness. Give us a fresh opportunity to renew true solidarity for the common good and our homeland. May we return to our true identity as a people of faith and charity. Help us to always remain one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Paul, why don't you introduce our special guest? I'm excited for the audience to hear him.
All right. I want to give another verse of the day. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm excited. We have a great guest today on the show. And the topic of the day is Black Lives Matter movement. You know, as Christians, both Catholic and Protestant, how should we view the organization? Is it good? Is it worthy of support? Well, we're going to see. And we couldn't have a better guest today because, by the way, he happens to be a Black Catholic. And I call him a Black Catholic, not because he gets any special points for being Black, but because his situation and the way he grew up and where he grew up is relevant to what's going on in the topic of the day. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Ruben, he's our ride along today. It's Bobby Hesley, and he's all the way from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. He's a self-described Catholic apologist. And if you're unfamiliar with what an apologist is, it has nothing to do with apologizing for being Catholic. I promise you that by any stretch of the imagination. But it does involve defending the faith in a rational, intelligent way. So with that, Bobby, tell us exactly, what do you do as a Catholic apologist?
Well, I'll start by telling you what I don't do. And I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I don't apologize for being Catholic, in case anybody gets caught up in the word apologist. But
great.
Long story short, it comes from a much treasured verse that those of us who promote the faith are familiar with, which is 1 Peter 3:15, to always have an answer. It comes from the Greek word apologia. So one of the things that I do is defend the Catholic faith. At my heart, I'm an evangelist. I consider myself as someone who has the mind of an evangelist, or I'm sorry, the heart of an evangelist, but the mind of an apologist, which means I believe that at the end of the day, evangelization is like this giant umbrella. And within that umbrella, there are subsections of that topic, one of which is apologetics. Sometimes in order to proclaim the faith, we have to teach the faith. And sometimes to teach the faith, we have to defend the faith. And that's essentially what I do is I lead people to Jesus. And when I say I lead people to Jesus, not just in a spiritual sense, but in the full sacramental sense, because obviously we're not just angels, right? We're not just these souls floating around. We are human beings. We have a human nature. We're bone and protein united to our spirit. So to have a complete relationship with Jesus, we have to also have that sacramental relationship with Jesus, which is brought to fullness in the Holy Eucharist.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Great answer. And at the start, I'd like you to tell our audience a little bit about your background and your formation, where you grew up and where you're at today.
Sure. Well, basically, the stork dropped Bobby Hesley in the middle of a pretty dangerous zone. I had a crash landing on planet Earth. I wasn't dropped in a white picket fence neighborhood in a good zip code with good schools and low crime. I was born to Brightmoore, Detroit, which was the center of the crack epidemic in the 80s and 90s. Anybody from Detroit knows that Brightmoore was a really bad area. Mm. And if you think about it, guys, I'm a young, black, fatherless male from inner city Detroit. So basically, I had all the statistical, stereotypical odds stacked against me. I should be dead. I should be in prison. There's all kinds of things that I should be, given, you know, the circumstances that I was born in. But fortunately, my mom always planted a seed when I was younger, and she got me to realize how much Jesus loved me at a very young age. And that is what carried me through. I spent half of my childhood in the juvenile foster care system because my mom had a sickness that basically rendered her unable to care for me and my sister. So the state of Michigan pulled me out of the house. I went to all kinds of different group homes and different places as a kid. And all of those things just brought me really, really close to Jesus. They really did. It had me reading St. John of the Cross when I was 15 years old, not to learn theology, but to console myself, to make sense of all this pain I was going through. So I learned at a very young age how to walk through dark nights of the soul, dark nights of the spirit, brought me close to Jesus. And then I got to say, I was just talking to Paul about this yesterday. Right around the age of 19 years old, when I first started kind of getting out on my own, I stumbled across this little old radio show that used to come on Saturdays with old St. Joseph Radio called St. Joseph Presents Reasons for Faith with Tim Staples and Jesse Romero. And amen. I look forward to doing a show with Jesse one of those days because I got to pay this brother tribute on the air for the
shout
direction.
Shout out to Jesse.
Shout out to you, Jesse. Yep. Go kill it at that Trump rally, brother.
He's listening and right now.
Amen. And the thing is, Tim and Jesse took me listening to their show, and I even called in a few times and got them into a little bit of trouble after hours with some of the things I called in and said regarding King James. Jesse will tell you guys about that story later. But that basically took me on more of an intellectual path in my faith, and that's where the hunger for apologetics really came in, and I haven't really looked back since.
Amen. I'm reminded of, as I hear you speak, I'm reminded of a verse where God says, I will be a father to the fatherless. And like you said, the world stacked the deck against Bobby. But guess what? God had different plans, you know, and his plans. Yes, his plans will not be frustrated. You know, there's a lot of people today who push the narrative that faith cannot be an act of the intellect. You hear references, of those who say, oh, those who cling to their Bibles, and it's in a dismissive kind of way. And yet we believe faith never violates reason. So but in a worldly sense, people who consider themselves intellectuals, they consider, you know, they would never deviate and mix, you know, faith or belief with reason. What does the church say about faith and reason, Bobby?
I love what the church says, especially in the opening sentence of Fides et Ratio, which was written by Pope St. John Paul II. And he opened it beautifully where he said that faith and reason are the wings by which the soul is able to send to God. So they're not mutually exclusive. That's what I love about Catholicism, is that Catholicism is not an either or religion. Okay. It's a both and religion. Yeah, it's not either Jesus or Mary or either scripture or tradition or either faith or reason. It's both and with all of the above. And not only are they not mutually exclusive, but they need each other. I mean, who would want to fly in an airplane that only has one wing, right?
Right.
We need both of those wings. So faith and reason reinforce each other. And I love how they both come together in Catholicism.
That's right. Right. Hey, Bobby, I saw a clip on YouTube. You were in the middle of a BLM protest in the city of Detroit. What was that all about, man? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, it's gone pretty viral. It's up to over 500,000 views. It'll kind of forever live in infamy. I'll be honest. That, you know, I was actually getting my car washed. None of that was planned. I had no notes. I had nothing. I didn't even have my selfie stick with me. And I was getting my car washed on 11 Mile in Woodward, which is a very famous corner in Metro Detroit. And every year they have this thing called the annual Woodward Dream Cruise, where people take all these muscle cars and every kind of car you can think of, and they just cruise down the street called Woodward in a city called Royal Oak, which I call Royal Woke because of how liberal the city is. And and the thing is, I look across the street, and I see these Black Lives Matter protesters holding up their signs in front of a church, mind you, in front of an Episcopalian church. And normally I'm in dialogue mode, okay? 99% of the time I'm wanting to dialogue, I'm wanting to evangelize, but I knew that wasn't going to get me anywhere with these people because I know they're kind, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Hey, so Bob, I thought, you know what? Let me just interrupt you real quick. But that,
sure.
What, so since the viewers didn't get a chance to see that clip, I just want to point out that I didn't see one Black person on the sidewalk, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except yours truly.
Yeah.
Imagine that, right?
And the thing is, so I thought, you know what? I'm not going to get anywhere trying to dialogue with these people. Their minds are made up. They got all these anti-Trump, pro-Biden signs up. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go into exposure mode. Because all these people that supposedly lose sleep every night over their quote-unquote white privilege, which is driven by white guilt, well, you know what? I want to use, like, in the spirit of St. Thomas Aquinas, I want to take their arguments and use it against them to prove that, you know, that mine were right. So what I did was I used their white guilt, which is in their mind only, their white guilt and their white privilege against them by exposing what white privilege looks like, where you basically go on a corner where zero Black people live, where zero Black people are killed, and you hold up your Black Lives Matter signs, and you get honks and attaboys. Yeah, and that's what I want to propose.
All right, we're coming up on our first break. I'll hold that thought, Bobby. We're going to finish that question on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jesus 911. We got to ride along. We got a special guest, Bobby Hensley, and a new partner.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. We're working for the DEA today, Bobby. Denounce every abomination. That's what we're doing today. We're talking about Black Lives Matter. And on the break, it reminded me of a quote by Dr. Carol Swain, university professor and advisory board member of Black Voices for Trump, where she says, white people are so confused in America. If there is systemic racism today, it is a racism against white people in the sense that white people are told that they are responsible for all the evils of the world. Mm-hmm. And you were starting to talk about this white privilege. Maybe you can kind of finish up your thought on that, Bobby, and address what Dr. Carol Swain said there.
Absolutely. And that resonates with me because I've been working directly with the Trump campaign, with their Black Voices for Trump Detroit office. We've done lots of outreach. But yeah, I mean, you know, basically what that video exposes, and if you guys go to my YouTube channel, if you just look up Bobby Hesley, B-O-B-B-Y-H-E-S-L-E-Y, same name across all my platforms, you can watch that 18-minute video. And what I wanted to do is expose what white privilege looks like. And I, of course, I put white privilege in quotes because that's a figment of the liberal imagination. But essentially what they do is they go to the suburbs, which is where they live. They don't come to Detroit. They don't go where the bodies are like I told them to. I said, if Black Lives Matter to you, go where the bodies are. Yeah. And when I look back, you know, retroactively, I wish in hindsight I could have said, you know what? I will stand here with you guys all day. I'll put on a Black Lives Matter shirt even. Here's all I ask. I got one request is that we just go 5 miles south to 6 Mile and Woodward where the Black lives really are being taken. And that's my condition. And I doubt they would have done that.
Absolutely. No.
Bobby, I got a question for you. Let's talk about, you know, since you know, bearing all that in mind, let's talk about the organization and who founded it and what do they tell us in their own words that they stand for?
Sure. Well, I just want to start off by saying that Black Lives Matter, the organization, is not what everybody thinks it is. The name is very misleading because heterosexual Black men, like my brother Paul Clay and like myself, are public enemy number one to Black Lives Matter. We are. That's because true. They are not founded. And what's interesting is that all the Black men that Black Lives Matter claims to stand for, that they're willing to riot, loot, burn, shoot, and rape and pillage whenever something happens, are heterosexual Black men that are killed by white police officers. But to Black Lives Matter, the organization, a good Black man is a dead Black man because those are the only Black men that they care about. They don't care about the 900 Black babies that are aborted every day. They don't care about the 300,000+ Black on Black violence victims that have happened in the last 35, 40 years. They only care about this less than 1% narrative that happens of when a Black man is killed by a police officer of a different color. And that's why it makes world headlines when it happens, because it's so rare. Now, one too many, few instances too many. I'm not saying there doesn't need to be police reform in certain districts, but I believe that the organization Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. They have since changed their website because everybody caught on to them. They were a little bit too transparent. But if you want to find screenshots of their old site, everything stays on the internet forever. And they specifically said that they are looking to disrupt the nuclear prescribed Western family. They want to take the Black father out of the Black home.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Hey, Bobby, I saw a photo of a Catholic priest on a bended knee holding a sign which read, I support BLM. Is it okay for Catholics, let alone a priest, to endorse BLM? Is it consistent with our faith?
It is not. And to whom much is given, much is required. And I believe, if we're going to go here, because there's also a false dichotomy that's made by people who claim to support Black Lives Matter. To me, it's a false distinction because people say, well, there's two different things when it comes to Black Lives Matter. There's the organization and then there's the slogan. Okay, I don't support the organization, but I do support the slogan. So I'm going to black out my Facebook profile. I'm going to use that hashtag. Here's why I unequivocally tell everybody, especially Catholics and even more especially Catholic priests who are ordained and who should know better and should lead by example as our fathers, is that you should not support the slogan either. And here's why. Because when you support that slogan, you are giving free marketing and free search engine optimization to a Marxist organization that has raked in $2 billion+ since the death of George Floyd. Why are you giving free advertising to an organization that does nothing for the Black community except run through its neighborhoods, burn down its neighborhoods, burn down its businesses, push for the abortion of its babies, push for its Black fathers to be taken out of the home? So every time you use that hashtag, you're supporting the organization. And one more point on that is that prior to 2012, nobody was using that slogan, Black Lives Matter. It was invented by three Black, two of which I know are outspoken lesbians that were feminists. The three black feminist founders of Black Lives Matter invented that hashtag in 2012. Nobody used those three words prior to 2012, and I challenge anybody to show me where they did. So when you use that slogan, you are supporting the organization.
Right.
Ruben.
Now, Ruben. People are saying BLM stands for Biden's Laptop Matters.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ruben, didn't you say that a couple of those founders were involved in witchcraft?
Yeah. In fact, I want to play a short clip, then we can get into that. Or maybe we do it on the other side of the break, so we're not right, up against the break.
But, all right.
Yeah, but you're definitely right about right on their website. They want to dismantle the patriarchal practice, you know, and that's goes against everything what we stand for. And go ahead, Paul. You're big on John Paul II and some of his writings.
Yeah.
What did he say about that?
Yeah, well, you know, it, just to segue off of what Bobby had to say, suffice to say that when a Catholic priest stands and literally poses for a picture that's going to be posted all over the internet, it sends a confusing message to the faithful, complete confusing message. And when you look at the roots of Marxism and you understand what Marxism is all about, you realize that the church has denounced it as evil, and so it, you know, the faithful are confused out there. You had a CEO of Catholic Charities in Eastern Washington. He actually went on film and he apologized for being a racist, and he says, "How could I not be, where every institution is geared toward giving me an advantage?" And concluded that the conclusion he said was Catholic Charities supports BLM. What's the difference between agreeing with the importance that Black Lives Matters and supporting the organization BLM, Bobby?
You know, I wish, you know, this is the sci-fi nerd in me, but I wish I had a time machine and I could go back to the year 2012. And that one little word is all Black Lives Matter. So if we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, let's talk about Black Lives. And the analogy I use to show the foolishness of these people that support, like I said, either organization or the hashtag, is imagine that there was this rare cancer that took less than 1% of the population. And you had this multi-billion dollar organization that dedicated all this time and money and doctors and resources and research to treating this less than 1% form of cancer. Meanwhile, they're ignoring breast cancer, they're ignoring leukemia, prostate cancer, all these other cancers that actually do kill millions of people. They don't say anything about that. That's what Black Lives Matter, the organization, and the saying is. Unless you say that all cancer needs to be eradicated, then I might agree with it.
Yes. So yeah. It sounds to me like there's a hidden agenda with the organization, and that the slogan Black Lives Matters is almost like a smokescreen.
It is. It's a communist smokescreen. Because what the Nazis wanted to do, fascists want to kill everybody else because they believe they're the superior race. What communists do is they reverse that. Communism, they kill their own. And in order for them to kill their own, they have to set up these fake identity wars, these fake class wars, the rich versus the poor, the gay versus the straight, the men versus the women, the black versus the white, the police versus the civilians, the immigrants versus the natives. They set up all these fake identity wars. Meanwhile, we're killing each other. And millions of numbers. And that's what the game of Marxist communism is, folks.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just going to give you a lead up to the next segment where we'll play a little clip where you can hear from the mouth of some of these founders, Patrice Cullors, for one, and what they think about their spirituality. And it's no doubt it's witchcraft. But But she's deeply committed to incorporating spiritual leadership. She says she grew up as a Jehovah's Witness and later became ordained in the Ifa, a West African Yoruba religion, drawing on Native American Buddhist and mindfulness traditions. Her syncretic spiritual practice is fundamental to her work, as Cullors explains to us, quote, "The fight to save your life is a spiritual fight." And so she converted to an Ifa practitioner, according to encyclopedia.com. Ifa refers to both the divinization practice and the Yoruba god divination. So the practice of divination consists of client councils, taking part in rituals with the diviner, then a deity, which is a god apparently manifest, allowing the diviner to then transmit a message to explain to the client prescribing appropriate sacrifices to be carried out. So you're going to hear when they start saying, say the name, they chant these names because they're trying to call the dead. They're basically talking to the dead. They want to bring them when they mention, you know, George Floyd and all the people.
They want to channel dead spirits. Right. Yeah.
That's what they're doing when they do that. So that's why you hear the NBA, you know, they say their name, you know, Breonna Taylor. They're recalling that. They want us all to be part of their prayer in a sense. And you'll see that when we play that clip on the other side of the break. But we can't be involved in any type of that witchcraft. I mean, we all know. You guys know what Deuteronomy 18 says. You know, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, you do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord because of these same detestable practices.
Yes.
The Lord your
yes.
God will drive out those nations before you. And, you know, that's where we're at.
You know, amen. This is some sobering stuff. You know, I'm glad we're exposing the organization for what it is, because BLM is pro-gay, pro-trans, pro-Marxist, and pro-abortion. And the church condemns all of these as intrinsically evil. Pope John the 23rd said no Catholic can subscribe even to moderate socialism. They're endorsed by Planned Parenthood. They're responsible for killing millions of black and brown babies, all while 58% of blacks oppose abortion. They openly appraise Asada Shakur, who in 1977 killed a police officer. And, you know, when she was sentenced, she had the opportunity and fled, and she now lives in Cuba. She's on FBI's most wanted list, and there's a $2 million reward for her. And this organization actually praises that individual. What do you think, Bobby?
You know, while we're talking about witchcraft and the demonic forces that are behind the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't see it as a coincidence at all that it was founded by three women who I refer to as an unholy and a demonic trinity. And I believe that they have spiritual parallels in the otherworldly realm. And when you guys get a chance, I want you to look into Lilith, Vashti, and Jezebel. And those are the three anti-Trinitarian demonic spirits behind Black Lives Matter.
Amen. Okay, we're coming up on a break. Interesting conversation here. I'm having a great time listening to these guys. High Information Catholics. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Don't change that dial.
A great man once said that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will report with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists, not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. You weren't made to fit in, my brothers and sisters. You are born to stand out. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. God bless you.
Our nation is too full of those that are crying down. Down with the police, down with the churches, down with teachers, down with government. Can you build anything down? You cannot. Certainly time in our nation to change our words. And let's begin now to use the word up. Up from all of this filth, up from this violence, up from this indifference of courts, up, up to the hid battlements of eternity, up, up to God.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back, and I just want to remind everybody that today is the Feast of All Souls Day, so we remember our dead. We're probably the only, we are the only Christian religion that prays for our dead. We believe in purgatory, And just so you know, you can get a plenary indulgence by visiting a church or cemetery praying for the dead. And and as long as you're in a state of grace, obviously, and you've gone to confession within the week. And so let's get those plenary indulgences for our loved ones. You gain them for them. So get them out of the suffering that they are enduring. They can't help themselves. So I'm going to play a short clip. And then we'll talk about it. This is, you're going to hear it's actually a Protestant pastor that is talking about these, and he's putting on some clips on his own show about from the words of these leaders from the BLM themselves. So I think we're ready to go, Mr. Engineer.
Today's show is not, we're not going to focus so much on their Marxism. I want you to know that the BLM organization's founders, they're training more than Marxism. I'll explain it to you the way that they explain it themselves. Let me get this quote. Patrice Cullors, the one you just heard there saying that she's a trained Marxist and that she and other BLM co-founders are trained Marxists. She says, quote, there are many spiritualities. Sorry, she said, quote, I'm calling for spirituality to be deeply radical. We're not just having a social justice movement. This is a spiritual movement. Huh. End quote. Spiritual movement. What does she mean by that? I'm so glad you asked. I'll start in all of the audio I'm about to share with you now. Well, I see the disrespectful clock, so this is going to carry over to the next segment. Is a Zoom-like conversation between two women. One of them is named Dr. Malina Abdullah, that she is a professor of African studies at California State University, Los Angeles. She's having a Zoom-type conversation with Patrice Cullors. Let me welcome you into their little conversation where she admits, maybe I'm saying too much. Listen to Dr. Malina Abdullah, who's also, in addition to being a professor at California State University, Los Angeles, she's also the founder of the BLM Los Angeles chapter of the organization. Please play clip number one.
Maybe I'm sharing too much, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly, right? Like each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Waukesha, you know, and I didn't meet her in her body, right? Yeah. I met her through this work.
Oh, Lord. She said she laughs a lot with Waukesha, who she didn't meet in her body. So where'd you meet? You laughing with Waukesha, where did y'all meet? You're going to find that Dr. Abdullah and Patrice Cullors talks about summoning the spirits of the dead, using the power of the spirits of the dead in order to give them the ability to do what they're calling the so-called justice work. You're going to find that what they're describing is their adherence to the Yoruba religion of Ifa or Ifa, to where they are summoning dead spirits. If you think I'm laughing, Because you might have heard many people saying, oh, you're making all of this noise about Black Lives Matter. It's just a hashtag. Oh, really? Listen to clip number four. This is Patrice Cullors.
It's a very important practice. Hashtags are, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. And always, you know, in my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it's like honey or tobacco, things like that. And it's so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us.
Okay, that's good, Mr.
Now,
okay, man, let's dissect this. What's your take on that, Bobby?
You know, before the break, I touched on these three entities of Lilith, Vashti, and Jezebel. And why these three of all the demons that are out there and all the evil spirits that are out there? Well, what do these three entities have in common is that they have a hatred, particularly of men. They have an intense hatred for men, for males. Why men? Because the devil hates all human beings, but he has a special hatred for males. You know why?
Yep.
Because it was the male body. It was the male human nature of Christ who conquered him on Calvary.
Amen.
And from the moment of conception, he tried to kill this male God child with the tumultuous journey to Egypt, with the edict of Herod. And it wasn't until, you know, Christ's hour came that he surrendered himself to that. But that is why, because of the male body of Christ. So I feel like Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization, a witch organization, all of those things rolled into one, because really who their enemy is Christ. So black heterosexual male Christians like Paul Clay and myself, we need prayers, guys, because we're their target.
You know, 1 John 5:19, the whole world is under the control of the wicked one. You know, that just surmises, you know, what's really going on here and the wickedness that's attached to this organization. What say you, Bobby?
I agree. You know, like it says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Yes.
So guys, you have to go deeper than the hashtags. It's so much deeper than that, as we just heard in this horrific audio.
Yeah, and exposing the Marxist roots to this organization, and knowing that there's a satanic tie there. I read a book not too long ago, Dr. Paul Kanger, and the title of the book was The Devil and Karl Marx. And in that book, he connects a deep fascination that Marx had with Satan, to the point that Karl Marx was even writing poetry. And I know Jess often talks about the demonic and certain characteristics of a person who's being either oppressed or possessed by demons, which Karl Marx could have been either one. But he was his hygiene was filthy. And, you know, that's one of the signs he talked about. And that was one of the signs that was true about Karl Marx. So, you know, this is definitely a spiritual issue. Go ahead, Bobby.
It is. And if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know if it was in the preface or in the opening chapter, but if you read Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky, who is a faithful son, descendant, and disciple of Karl Marx, he actually dedicated the book and gave tribute to Lucifer.
Yep. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yep.
Right. And he was a big favorite of Hillary Clinton, you know. So,
wow.
She professed his beliefs, and so did our former president Barack Obama. So,
absolutely.
So if we know that this organization, you know, is not of God, which I think we gave good enough proof for that, then it can only come from one of three possible places or all, and that is the world. You know, that worldview that militates against God, the flesh, you know, our darkened intellect, you know, influenced by sin, and the devil. The devil is those are, and that, and I would say in this case, Bobby, it's all three.
It absolutely is. There are so many unholy trinities in this thing. World, flesh, devil, the three founders of BLM, Lilith, Vashti, Jezebel.
Yeah, well, Satan is the great counterfeiter, right? He takes holy things and he counterfeits them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does them in reverse many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
he has to, because he's the father of lies, and if he were to create anything, there would be truth in it, and Satan is incapable of anything true. So all he can do is pervert the good that God created.
Right.
You know, the brief history on Black Lives Matter, it goes back to 2013 when George Zimmerman, who was a kind of a wannabe cop, but he was watching out for his neighborhood, and he's a 28-year-old neighborhood watch coordinator of Hispanic German descent, and he saw Trayvon Martin walking in there with a hoodie on, and he felt he was suspicious, and they had a confrontation and got into a fight. 17-year-old black student Trayvon Martin was getting the better of him, and apparently George Zimmerman had the ability to carry concealed a weapon. Or I shouldn't say that. He had the ability to carry. He had a carry permit. So I don't know if it was concealed or otherwise. But anyways, he ended up shooting Trayvon Martin, and he was acquitted of homicide because it was self-defense. And that was when President Obama at the time said that if he had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. You know, and then that's the founding of the Black Lives Matter. And Alicia Garza, a black woman from Oakland, California, she posted to Facebook what she described as a love letter to black folks. She wrote, "I continue to be surprised at how little black lives matter. Black people, I love you. I love us. Our lives matter." Patrice Cullors, a black woman from Los Angeles, California, then put Garza's Facebook post on Twitter with the hashtag Black Lives Matter after seeing the hashtag Opal Tometi. A first-generation Nigerian-American woman from Phoenix, Arizona, partnered with Garza and Cullors to establish an internet presence. Tometi purchased the domain name and built BLM's digital platform, including social media accounts where they encourage people to tell their stories. And I honestly, for one, I believe that the former president, he empowered them by bringing them into the White House, and from there it just took off. So,
oh yeah,
you know, and again, when I'm saying, hey, we can support black folks, not the movement, and that's what the Bobby and both Paul are saying today. So I don't want anybody to misconstrue what we're saying here. Obviously, so we're coming up on a third break. You know how time flies when you're having fun.
Yes.
On the other side of the break, we're going to continue our discussion about Black Lives Matter and can we support it? And we will get back to you on the other side.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We're talking about BLM. We have a special guest, Bobby Hesley and Paul Clay. We're a three-man car today, and I just want to invite people to gain that plenary indulgence that I talked about in the last segment. Here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina, 381 West Center Street, Covina, there'll be a Mass and Adoration at 7 o'clock p.m., so if you want to join us, I'll be here, and we can usher in the November 3rd, the election day, to pray to our Lord and our Lady for divine intervention, for this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Yes.
All right, Paul?
Yeah. BLM often pushes the narrative, and I believe it's a false narrative, that most police officers are inherently racist, but our entire country, and not only that, but our country and the government are racist. Hence, the Constitution is racist, and we need to tear it down and rebuild it. Bobby, do you see our society and our laws, our political system as being oppressive or unjust toward blacks and other minorities?
I think we don't have Bobby. Can't hear him yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I was on mute. Oh. In the beginning of this country, I would say that was the case. Prior to the Civil War, during the days of slavery, we could say that. Yes. But I believe that the 16th president and the very first Republican president who established the GOP, Abraham Lincoln, he actually started the original Black Lives Matter movement in America. Amen. Where white Northerners went to war with the racy Dixie Democrat South to free black people from the oppression of white Democrats. So, yes, in the beginning, when the Black Lives Matter movement originally started, when it was pure and it wasn't demonic and all these other things we're talking about, absolutely. But we've made a lot of progress since then. There has never been a time in American history, not only to be an American, but especially to be a black American with everything President Trump is doing.
Yes. And the old Jim Crow laws that were, in existence in the 50s and 60s, those don't exist anymore, do they?
They don't. And they were all championed by Democrats. And it was Democrats who fought tooth and nail to prevent their abolishment when there were 14 Democrat senators who filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Mm. Voters, do you hear that?
Yeah. You know what, when you were giving your introduction, I didn't hear any victim mentality in your statements. You know where you came from, you came up, weren't born with a golden spoon in your mouth, and you fought your way, to where you are today, but taking responsibility for it. That's what I heard when you were talking, and you're not laying back and saying, hey, the government, let's take care of me. Give me food stamps, give me welfare. When President Johnson instituted that welfare system, it changed the inner cities for the worse. I believe that many people thought that they could just have children, out of wedlock, and the state would take care of them, and we just continued down that path, and some of these.
Ruben, mm-hmm. That's because Bobby is no longer on the Democratic plantation.
Well, believe it or not, I've never voted Democrat once in my life. I've always voted Republican because I've always loved Jesus. I've always been a single issue voter when it comes to abortion. And my thing is, and you're right, Brother Ruben, and I appreciate you saying that, I am not a victim, I am a victor, because it says in Scripture that I am more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Through
Amen.
Him who loved me. Amen.
That's right. And that's why, that number one, that's why I could never move myself to vote Democrat. But number two, the fact is, everything that you mentioned regarding the welfare state, it's destroyed the black family because it rewards. See, if you're a government, there's two things you do. You incentivize and you subsidize behaviors of the public that you want more of, and you tax behaviors that you want less of, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society War on Poverty was. He incentivized fornication to where he penalized women to marry the men who impregnated them.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the heart of it.
Yes.
That's what destroyed the black family.
So, Bobby, what's the end game of BLM? What is it that you believe, you know, they hope to accomplish?
I believe that Black Lives Matter, just like their cousin organization Antifa, which both have in common being funded by a white privileged billionaire by the name of George Soros. You know, I believe that the likes of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the end game is Marxism. But Marxism and communism, they have to be slowly introduced. You can't just thump it down because it's too big of a leap. So what you have to do is you have to do it incrementally. Mm. I refer to socialism as the gateway drug to communism. It's the down payment to communism.
The old frog in the pot that slowly you know, increases with the heat, and finally he's dead, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what the pathway is to go from capitalism to communism, you have to make that midway stop between socialism. And again, the only way that you can do that is to create these fake identity politics war, where you get the rich versus the poor, the gay versus the straight, etc. Because the answer to all of that identity politics and getting each other at each other's throat and all that division is seemingly socialism. And once they can institute socialism, once the government can nationalize the means of production and supplant the place of God, where man becomes all powerful, all knowing, and all present, then it's only a matter of time before you have a secular, godless, communistic society. And that's what Black Lives Matter is pushing.
And that's the platform for the Antichrist, right? That's how he's going to rise, the man of lawlessness. Hey, Ruben, since we've connected now logically Marxism, which is basically the philosophical thought that gave birth to communism, let's go over some of those
points.
The 45 points of.
We're not going to say them all, but we will say this was from 1963, and we talked about this before the show, you and I, and there's a couple of interesting points that they make, and this was in 63, so you can see how it has. Fomented now, and it is right here. It's amongst us, you know. And we remember what Our Lady said at Fatima. You know, the danger of communism, that Russia would spread her errors. You know, and it's here, folks. One of the things is they promote the United Nations as the only hope for mankind. In its charter, it's rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one world government with its own independent armed forces, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States.
That hasn't happened, has it?
Oh, yeah. They haven't captured the Republican, but a lot of politicians are bought and sold. You know, I mean, bought and paid for.
Absolutely.
You know? I like Trump because he's not a politician.
Amen.
But, go ahead, Paul. You want to say a couple more?
Yeah, listen, a couple more here. Infiltrate the press. Get control of book review, assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. Gain control of key positions in radio and TV. What do you think about that one, Bobby?
He's the prince of the power of the air, St. Paul said, right? Satan rules the airwaves.
Yes. Yeah, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. These things are happening right now, folks. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books. Wow. How about that?
How about present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy, and infiltrate our churches, replace revealed religion with social religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch.
Wow.
And transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Man, this was in 63.
Yeah, and here's the big one. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Bobby, comment on that.
I mean, of all the ways that God could have become man, right? When they think back to the incarnation, you know, we don't have a shoulda, coulda, woulda religion. Our religion is not based on what God could have done or didn't need to do. It's only based on what he did. That's all we have to go by. And the fact is, when God became one of us, when the incarnation happened, he chose to do it within the context of a nuclear family, of a mother and a father that were committed to one another, where the wife actually encompassed all three vocations, virginhood, motherhood, and wifehood, all within herself.
Yes,
and Black Lives Matter is an it's an attack on all that.
Yes,
that's right.
And the danger of this organization, Bobby, is that, you know, they take when you become ethnocentric, you know, you go down a rabbit hole. I mean, the Bible clearly teaches that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ. And if we keep our spiritual antenna up and our spiritual mindset, we can recognize and not fall into these traps that like you said, will take you down an endless rabbit hole.
It does. And if you want to play the victim card, folks, I play it every morning when I go to Mass, when I receive the salutary victim on my tongue. Oh, salutatus hoistia. The Latin word for host is victim. So if you want to play the victim card, live an intensely Eucharistic lifestyle. That's the way to play that card.
I love it. Amen. I love it, Ruben.
Amen. So, remember, let's try to attend Mass today. And I know I'll be here at the chapel here in Covina with Mass and Adoration at 7 o'clock p.m. We've been having an interesting conversation. We've been exposing Black Life Matters for what they are. And it's truly a Marxist organization. And they're anti-God, everything that we stand for as Catholics. And Bobby, before we go, can you tell the audience how people can get a hold of you or listen to your videos and
whatnot? Sure. If you want to just look up Bobby Hesley, it's the same on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just type in, you know, BobbyHesley. I'm in the process of, as you can see behind me, I'm setting up my studio here. The Bobby Hesley podcast will be launching very soon. Stay tuned for that, folks. And if there's one more thing I could end by saying, earlier you had mentioned that we pray for the dead on All Souls Day. I want to make sure that our audience knows that we do not pray to the dead.
Absolutely.
That's necromancing, and the saints are not dead either. They are more alive than we are. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, good point. Yes, sir. Hey, let's say a prayer all together. Let's say the Hail Mary for our the souls in purgatory as we close up the show here. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with
thee. Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Great show, Bobby. Thanks for being with us. Paul, man, you're like a you just jump in the car, man. You're ready to go, 10-8. So,
listen, Ruben, do you remember you got assigned a ride along and that wasn't always a good thing?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? This ride along, let me tell you something, Bobby. You can ride with us any day because you gave us red meat today, red meat for Catholicism.
Yeah, Bobby,
thank you, sir.
You look like a big boy, man. You probably, if we needed backup, you'd be able to help us out.
I got your six, brothers.
All right.
There it is.
Outstanding, guys. I appreciate it. And Jesse will be with us. You know, by the way, Jesse's not here today. He's doing another invocation for the president at a rally in Scottsdale. So pray for him when he goes on. And remember, get out there and vote. If you haven't voted, get out there and vote and bring 10, 20 people with you. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. And stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuda. And from the Midwest Command Center, the Midwest Dojo. Anyway, I'm signing out. We're 10-7. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.